Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 22. Moses and the burning bush. Moses commissioned by God. Moses called by God. What for? To lead Israel out of Egypt. And it would have been into the promised land. But because of his sin, he fell short of that. But the next great step in the covenant history of redemption, God's great history worked out in time. His great plan worked out in the history of men. Here we have the next great step. Here is this man who is destined to become one of the greatest leaders of men of all time. And here he is, commissioned, sent by God. In this discourse, I want to look at the first verse only and deal with this question. When did it happen? When was Moses moved by God to this great work? In chapter 2, we saw how he thought himself that he was called of God to this work. He was the man. Perhaps called of God is too strong. He felt he was the man for the work, and he thought the Hebrews would understand that. Now, whether that was pride in Moses, I took the line when I spoke on that, that he was moved by God. But it could be that it was just fleshly action now. But I still think not. I feel that God was moving him to that work. But that was 40 years ago, and he had been rejected by the Hebrews at that time. And much water has flowed under the bridge now in these 40 years. Actually, a better picture of as much sand would have been blown around in the desert. Moses is now 80. We don't read that in Exodus 3, but we certainly read it in Acts chapter 7, verses 23 to 30. And he, at 80, is now given by God this direct call, this direct commissioning to become the leader of the Hebrews. There's nobody too old for God's service, you know. Allowing for that fact that Moses lived to 120, that would make the call now for the average Englishman, American, somewhere in the 50s or maybe even early 60s. Nobody can say, well, I'm too old for God to use me. As I read 1 Timothy 3, men can be too young for public work. But none can be too old, it seems to me. If God has his hand upon him, the age is of no consequence, unless he be too young. Brother, sister, am I addressing you? I'm 35 now, say. Well, I'm not, I'm 76, but you might be saying this. Well, I've got to settle down now, and it's too late now. Too late? There's a lifetime nearly, half a lifetime anyway, ahead of you. The rest of your life anyway begins now. When was Moses called to this work? When he was tending sheep, verse 1. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert. So he's traveling around in the sand, in the wind, in the shrubs, in the barren wilderness with sheep. And he's tending them. He's doing an ordinary day-by-day humdrum menial task. Now, I've never kept sheep. And I dare say for the first year or two, for the first decade maybe, it would be a tremendous novelty as I was learning my trade. But after 40 years of wandering in the desert with sheep, it would be a very humdrum, everyday sort of job. You've been here before. He's doing his ordinary work. Menial work. Little consequence, you might say. Lonely. In obscurity. He was a shepherd. Well, David was too. Psalm 78, verses 70 and 71 make this very clear. God called David the next great step, you might say, in the great history of redemption. He was a shepherd too. Amos was a market gardener. Some of the disciples were fishermen, tax collectors. God chooses all sorts, university men, Saul of Tarsus, refugees, politicians, Daniel. We must not allow ourselves, brother and sister, to get the idea that there is a certain kind of a right man for God to use. God uses all sorts, in all sorts of conditions of people. He uses the unlearned and the ignorant. I'm not appealing for ignorance. But God uses men who don't have the qualifications that other men think. Acts 4:13, woe these to teach us. They're ignorant men. They're unlearned. Well, Christ, they said, he's never been taught. He's never learned letters. He's never gone to university. How can he teach us? Paul is very clear. God has chosen the foolish things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. The weak, the helpless, the hopeless, the nobodies and the nothings, to confound the mighty and the wise. I will say this, a man who is a shepherd who can't keep sheep, a man who is a carpenter and can't cut wood, a man who is a schoolteacher and can't teach children, is no use in God's service. I'm not saying, oh, we've all got to be carpenters or shepherds. I said a man who is a carpenter, he'll be a good carpenter. I'm sure Moses was a good shepherd, and he was doing a worthy job. Spurgeon told his students, he had no time for men who came to him, and I know I'm called to the ministry, as they called it. I'll use that word. I'm called to God's work because I tried to run a shop and it failed. I opened a school, and, well, that was no use. And then I tried this, my hand at this, and it was no good at all. Spurgeon said, in other words, you're a failure at everything else, and you think that God will now use you. Spurgeon's view was, God will use men who are good in their callings, in their work for him, in their daily life. A good shepherd, a good carpenter, a good politician. My guess is, and I think it's more than a guess, that Moses is probably a very good, an excellent shepherd by now. Spurgeon told a story of a man who had been a shepherd for the first part of his life. And then he became, and I'll use the word, I don't myself, don't like it, a pastor, a shepherd of men. And he said to Spurgeon, he said, I've shepherded sheep for the first half of my life, and I've shepherded men for the second half of my life, and I found men more sheepish than the sheep. In other words, it was more difficult being in God's service than it was being a shepherd. So failures at shepherding is not a good recommendation for shepherding God's people. The third point I would make is Moses was called when he was in a very lonely spot, in real obscurity. It says he was in Horeb, the mountain of God, Sinai. He's out on that mountain range, barren, bleak, obscure. He's the only man in sight. In England, I've been walking and been able to get to a place where I can't see any human habitation, or any other human, too. There's not much wilderness in England, but I've seen that. Moses is in such a place. I've seen the desert, too, and been there. Miles and miles of nothing. And in this obscurity, he is appointed and sent by God. God's servants often work in obscurity, you know. Arthur Pink, for all his faults, his work still lived, though he was in obscurity in his life. You can never tell. And the fourth thing I would see here is that this Exodus 3 comes after Exodus 2. Moses has been rejected once by the Hebrews. But God's call comes to him now. And it's God's time and God's timing. And the long delay to Moses, 40 years, but no. God is preparing this man. By all these experiences with the sheep and the desert and the wilderness, the rejection, the obscurity, and it's leading this man to the place where, from obscurity, he will become one of the great leaders of all time. More important, the next stage in redemption history, by covenants, God's history. Cromwell, you know, was an obscure, if you like, landowner, a squire in East Anglia. But through God's direction, this man took control of the English army in the Civil Wars in the 1640s. And if it had not been for Cromwell, who became one of the great generals of all time, the Civil War might have been lost to the king. All this I see in Moses. Obscurity, age, menial tasks, rejection. And this is the time for God to send Moses back to do this great work. Brother and sister, there's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. I'm not so sure about the theology of that, but it chimes in with what I'm saying. There is a work for Jesus. Are you going to do it? Well, I'm too old. I don't have the right qualifications. I've not been to the university. I've not been to the seminary. And I'm obscure and all. There's a work for Jesus. I've tried it and people have rejected it. There's a work for Jesus. None but you can do. Go labor on. Men heed thee, love thee, praise thee not. The Master praises. What are men? Moses was sent. When was he sent? When he was old, it seems. When he was obscure. When he wasn't in any place he could be used. When he'd been rejected. When he was doing menial work. Brother and sister, is the Lord speaking to you? Then listen to him and obey him.